All those who assemble devotees. All those who assemble devotees. All those who are the feet of Sri Sri Guru Granth Sahib, Srila Prabhupada. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 20. Shriyapati Agyapati Prajapati
Shriyapati Agyapati Prajapati
Dhyampati Lokapati Dharapati
Dhyampati Lokapati Dharapati
Patigati Chandaka Vrishni Sattvatam
Patigati Chandaka Vrishni Sattvatam
Prashidatam me Bhagavan Satam Pati
Prashidatam me Bhagavan Satam Pati
Shriyaha
All opulence
Patihi
the owner
Yagya
of
sacrifice
Pati
the director
Prajapati
the leader of all living entities
Dhyam
of intelligence
Pati,
the master.
Lokapati,
the proprietor of all planets.
Dhara,
earth.
Pati,
the supreme.
Pati,
head.
Gati,
destination.
Cha,
also.
Andhaka,
one of the kings of the Yadu dynasty.
Rishi,
the first king of the Yadu dynasty.
Sattvatam,
the Yadus.
Prasidatam,
be merciful.
Me,
upon me.
Bhagavan,
Lord Shri Krishna.
Satam,
of all devotees.
Pati,
the Lord. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipful Lord of all the devotees, the protector and ruler of all the kings like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all. Be merciful upon me. Purport. Since Sukadev Goswami is one of the prominent Gatavyalikas who are free from all misconceptions, he therefore expresses his own realized perception of Lord Sri Krishna as being the sum total of all perfection, the personality of Godhead. Everyone is seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune, but people do not know that Lord Sri Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord, in his transcendental abode Goloka Vrindavan, is accustomed to herding the Surabhi cows and is served there by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. All these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, in his internal energy. And when the Lord manifests himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his rasa-lila, just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency, integrated sex enjoyment. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Sukadev Goswami, who was completely detached from the abominable sex life of the material world, discuss this act of the Lord's pleasure potency, certainly not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental taste inconceivable for the mundaners who are after sex life. Sex life in the mundane world is the root cause of being conditioned by the shackles of illusion, and certainly Sukadev Goswami was never interested in the sex life of the mundane world, nor does the manifestation of the Lord's pleasure potency have any connection with such degraded things. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, so much so that he did not allow any woman to come near him, not even to bow down and offer respects. He never even heard the prayers of the Devi Dasis offered in the temple of Jagannath, because as a sannyasi is forbidden to hear songs sung by the fair sex. Yet even in the rigid position of a sannyasi, he recommended the mode of worship preferred by the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is a principal head of all such goddesses of fortune. And therefore, she is the pleasure counterpart of the Lord and is none different from Krishna. In the Vedic rituals, there are recommendations for performing different types of sacrifice in order to achieve the greatest benefit in life. Such benedictions as the result of performing great sacrifices are, after all, favors given by the goddess of fortune. And the Lord, being the husband or lover of the goddess of fortune, is factually the Lord of all sacrifices also. He is the final enjoyer of all kinds of yagya. Therefore, Yagyapati is another name of Lord Vishnu. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that everything be done for the Yagyapati, Yagya Tat Kramana. For otherwise, one's acts will be the cause of conditioning by the law of material nature. Those who are not freed from all misconceptions, Vyalikam, perform sacrifices to please the minor demigods, but the devotees of the Lord know very well that Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all performances of sacrifice. Therefore, they perform the Sankirtan Yagya, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, which is specially recommended in this age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, performance or other types of sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. We have information from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 10 to 11, that Lord Brahma, after giving rebirth to the conditioned souls within the universe, instructed them to perform sacrifices and to lead a prosperous life. With such sacrificial performances, the conditioned souls will never be in difficulty in keeping body and soul together. Ultimately, they can purify their existence. They will find natural promotion into spiritual existence, the real identity of the living being. A conditioned soul should never give up the practice of sacrifice, charity, and austerity in any circumstances. The aim of all such sacrifices is to please the Yagyapati, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is also Prajapati. According to the Katha Upanishad, the one Lord is the leader of all innumerable living entities. The living entities are maintained by the Lord. Eko bahunam yogya dati kaman. The Lord is therefore called the supreme Bhuta Brit, or maintainer of all living beings. Living beings are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same quality of intelligence, because behind such development of intelligence is the control of the Lord, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As Paramatma, Supersoul, the Lord is living in everyone's heart, and from him only does one's power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness follow. Matas smriti jnanam apahonam cha. One person can sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. Therefore, the Lord is Thiyampati, or the Lord of Intelligence. The conditioned souls strive to become lords of material world. Everyone is trying to lord it over the material nature by applying his highest degree of intelligence. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. One's full intelligence should be applied to get free from the material clutches. But the conditioned soul, due to madness, only engages his full energy and intelligence in sense gratification. And to achieve this end of life, he willfully commits all sorts of misdeeds. The result is that instead of attaining an unconditional life of full freedom, the mad conditioned soul is entangled again and again in different types of bondage in material bodies. Everything we see in the material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Therefore, he is the real proprietor of everything in the universes. The conditioned souls can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. That is the instruction in the Ishopanishad. One should be satisfied with things awarded by the Lord of the universe. It is out of madness only that one tries to encroach upon another's share of material possessions. The Lord of the universe, out of his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls, descends by his own energy, Atmamaya, to re-establish the eternal relation of the conditioned souls with him. He instructs all to surrender unto him, instead of falsely claiming to be enjoyers for a certain limit under his control. When he so descends, he proves how much greater is his ability to enjoy, and he exhibits his power of enjoyment by, for instance, marrying 16,000 wives at once. The conditioned soul is very proud of becoming the husband of even one wife, but the Lord laughs at this. The intelligent man can know who is the real husband. Factually, the Lord is the husband of all the women in his creation, but a conditioned soul under the control of the Lord feels proud to be the husband of one or two wives. All these qualifications as the different types of pati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Sri Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami has therefore especially mentioned the pati and gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Sukadev Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langaite grim yatipata maham vande shi gurum jinatarinam. Vancha kalpa trivishja tu pasini vyavacha patitanam pavni vyavashta vyavim namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so any comments or questions? It's 8:45. A 2-page program. It was very long, but nonetheless, it was wonderful to read. So, who is speaking here? For those of you who haven't heard Monday to Friday classes, who is offering this prayer? Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami has been hearing from his very, has been speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, explaining the wondrous qualities of Krishna from his all-pervasive nature to his paramatma form to pure devotional service. And now the process of creation begins. So it is explained in the Vedic text that in order to understand the absolute truth, one must begin very humbly by understanding his different potencies, his different shaktis. Hence the Bhagavatam is spoken and written in such a way that we understand the multifarious energies of Krishna before we get to dive into his different rasas. So it is very befitting that we hear the stories of creation. And before that, the speaker, Sukadeva Goswami, is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relation to material nature, in relation to the demigods, in relation to any gross and subtle aspect of creation, and seeing him as the all-in-all, or the cause of all causes, Sava Karana Karanam. So here, the translation, it is speaking about Lord Krishna's dominion, how Krishna is the worshipful lord of the devotees, the demigods, the maintainer of everything, the giver of intelligence, the supreme incarnation, etc. So the Supreme Lord has no creator, he's Anadi. So before creation he existed, after creation he exists. We understand secondarily when Mahavishnu inhales and exhales, everything gets destroyed, all the living entities get absorbed into the pores of his body, and he still remains lying on Anantashesh, on the ocean, created by the sweat coming from his transcendental pores. So he has no creator, he is Anadi. He is also the origin of everything. The Supreme Lord is Adi. Hence Lord Brahma, upon receiving realization by the mercy of Krishna, finishes his most beautiful composed prayers, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. that this person Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the senses, one who gives pleasure to the cows and those who take care of the cows, he is the Adi, he is the original Purusha, the original incarnation. That is the topmost form. And everything is created by him. He is the creator of everything. Narayana Parovyaktat. This is explained in the Upanishads that Lord Krishna, he is creating both material and spiritual. He is the owner of both energies, and these energies are working under his control. And out of all the living entities in creation, not just in this universe, in many, many universes, as many bubbles there are in the ocean, there are as many universes. There are unlimited universes in creation. And Lord Krishna is the Nitya Nityam, Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. He is the chief entity. He is the chief eternal out of all the living entities in creation. Krishna is the supreme. He is the maintainer of all living entities. So he is the supreme Lord who maintains innumerable beings collectively and individually. So the second half of that verse ends with Eko Bahunam Yoviladati Kaman, that he's the chief eternal amongst all living beings, and he's the maintainer of all living entities individually and collectively. As the super soul, we understand that the Lord enters into different universes and ultimately into every single living entity. In between every single atom, the Lord's energy is all pervasive. So in this way, the potency or the absolute truth is explained in such a way that anyone will become humbled if we might think that we are supreme ourselves. We do not control anything. We cannot even control our husband or wife. Like, we're so small, it is very, very difficult to maintain the children. They do what they like. They do not listen. We cannot control the weather or our boss or what we want to see, what we want to hear. We are fully, fully dependent. Now, we cannot control anything. We are limited. We are anu. We are very, very small. And Krishna is vibhu. So in this way, hearing these explanations about Krishna's tattva is enough to humble the conditioned soul. And hopefully, a fortunate soul will want to surrender to Krishna after hearing these narrations. So in all humility, after reading this, we must understand that we are so insignificant. We are not the Lord and Masters of anything, and that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Master. So Krishna has different potencies. Prabhupada starts in this purport by explaining the Ladini Shakti potency of Krishna. And of course, this pleasure potency acts when the Lord enjoys his pastimes in the spiritual world. And this pleasure potency manifests, of course, as Srimati Radharani, the personification of Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. And this potency also manifests in Boma Vrindavan when the Lord descends to have his pastimes there. So this transcendental pleasure potency only manifests in his internal energy. So Prabhupada makes it very clear that this pleasure potency, this Ladini Shakti, this transcendental energy, it is in Krishna's internal potency, sorry, in his internal energy. So the external energy has nothing to do with the Ladini Shakti. So when so many persons say that they themselves are performing Rasa Leela and they're enjoying illicit sexual activities and that is their Ladini Shakti, it is actually false, because the Ladini Shakti only acts with the internal potency, with the internal energy, not the external energy. The external energy shows a grotesque or a perverted reflection in sex life. The attraction between man and woman expanding from the individual to the community to so many different variations. So in that sense, the Ladini Shakti is not acting in that external energy. Only in the internal energy does this pleasure potency act. So when people criticize and say that Krishna is mundane. He's a human. He had so many wives. He was a debauchee, or he was a womanizer. It is not actually true, because Krishna acts under the direction of his pleasure potency, and it is a spiritual energy. It is not the external energy. So Krishna at any point, any of his energies internally cannot become touched by the gross forms of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So when Krishna, when Srila Prabhupada gives this example that Krishna enjoys, for example, by marrying the 1,008 wives, it is not a grotesque or material understanding, but this is all happening by his internal pleasure potency. And also understanding that these pleasure potencies, the personification of that, of course, is Srimati Radharani, and all these other goddesses of fortune are but expansions of different limbs and different qualities of Srimati Radharani. So it's still, it is Krishna's pleasure potency expanding to give him pleasure. So ultimately, it is all coming from Krishna. So Krishna is supremely pure, apapa vishuddham. He can never become contaminated, just like the sun. Although the sun spreads its rays so many different places, in filthy areas, etc., the sun never becomes contaminated at any point. To our vision, it seems that the sun becomes covered by the clouds, but it is only with our material vision. The sun can never become covered. The sun can never become contaminated at any point. So similarly, Krishna can never become contaminated by the material world. So when he comes with his abode, when he comes with his devotees, the Yadu dynasty, etc., he comes with his own pleasure potency, and that is how Krishna enjoys. And it is by these pastimes that Krishna attracts the conditioned souls, and the same conditioned souls who are so interested in trying to be the lords of the material world. Although they're failing, however, they still try to be the lords of the material world. So Srila Prabhupada next points out this sex life, which is the binding force of material existence, that everything is working under gross and subtle sex life. So sex life is not only the physical aspect of man and woman combining to have a physical relationship, but also to try to enjoy separately from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada sometimes defines sex life as that. Materialistic sex life is trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, claiming that we own everything. We own our wife, our husband, we own a certain piece of land, we own a certain country, we are this, we are that. That is a very subtle and gross manifestation of sex life. And everything in this world is functioning under that direction, how we can enjoy separately from Krishna and completely forget about Krishna. The conditioned soul has a mentality that only us in the material world can have relationships. Only us can have lovers, friends, we can have mothers and fathers, but with Krishna it is not possible. We actually act very impersonal towards Krishna. We make Krishna impersonal so that we can enjoy. This is also sex life. This is the contamination of the conditioned soul. We do not want to give Krishna a personality or a character. We want it all for ourselves. This is how much we envy Krishna. We do not want to believe that God can also enjoy. Only we should be able to be the recipients of that. So this is how the conditioned soul becomes very, very impersonal. And as soon as you mention Krishna, a personality, it creates a little bit of friction. I know for myself, when I heard about Krishna 10 years ago, that Krishna, he has girlfriends, that was a problem. And that he enjoys, he sneaks out at night, and while reading Krishna book, he plays with his friends, he has picnics, and everything is about Krishna. Everyone sings about Krishna, everyone talks about Krishna. Everything, even the plants and the stone, they melt when they see Krishna. So I just thought, it's just not possible for someone to be so absorbed about another person. Why a Krishna? Why can't it be someone else? So this is the envy that the conditioned soul has, because they do not want to give Krishna credit for being supreme and magnanimous. There's so much envy in the heart of a living entity. We want to lord everything over. We want to be the enjoyers. We want to be the ones who have the picnics, who have the girlfriends, who have, you know, midnight rendezvous in our teenage years with our boyfriends and girlfriends. We want to be the ones to do that, but for Krishna, no. And this is coming out of our ignorance, because we do not understand that Krishna acts purely on the transcendental platform. So there's no mundane contamination there. There's no pervertedness. There's no lust. It is all pure. And while all of that is happening, both parties are supremely enlivened to be in each other's presence. So the sex life, of course, I will not dive deep into it. We know what is happening in the material world. There's so much enjoyment to be had, and it continues on and on in different ways, whether it's fashion, music, art, etc. There's so much sex life that is being promoted, and this is what keeps the living entity bound in a network of illusion. So whether it is gross or subtle, the network of illusion remains, and this fruitive mentality to want to enjoy and give pleasure to the bodily senses, to give pleasure to the mind, this is what keeps the living entity going from one birth to the other. So later on, Prabhupada gives this understanding of the intelligence that the living entity is endowed with. Whatever intelligence that we have, of course we all have different levels, because we all carry different desires from our previous actions, and by the Lord's agency of the super soul, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Matya Smriti Jnanam Apahonam Cha, Krishna can either reward us by giving us intelligence, or he can purify us by making us forgetful, however he pleases. So everything actually depends on the mercy of Krishna. All the intelligence that we have is coming from Krishna. The forgetfulness that we have, it is also coming from Krishna. So in every sense, we are never independent. Everything we get is coming from Krishna. Illumination of this material world, everything of this material creation in its gross form is coming from Krishna. So in the process of creation, it is explaining how everything was created in its gross form, and in its subtle form it was there, but nothing was active, only up until the Lord glanced over these energies that everything came to life. So we can have all these energies, we can have all these different elements, but unless Krishna himself enters into these material elements, nothing will work. So even from the dawn of creation, we have full dependence on Krishna. Krishna gives everything for our maintenance, for our sustenance. So it requires a great deal of intelligence. By Krishna's mercy, he gives us the intelligence to understand these facts. And by understanding this, we do not encroach upon different areas of our lives. We do not become overly greedy. We do not become overachievers. We do not want to acquire more than what we need. We act out of intelligence. And Srila Prabhupada, in the sense of self-realization, I was reading yesterday, he was in the chapter speaking about the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains that having a guru means that we speak from the level of intelligence, that we just do not speak nonsense. So being a disciple means that we speak intelligently, that there's no nonsense. We speak based on tadvini pranipatina pariprashtana sevaya. We speak based on our realizations after being engaged in service by the guru. That is where our intelligence will come from. Our intelligence will come from practicing devotional service, and the Lord from within inspiring us, giving us intelligence as well, and by the mercy of his representative, the spiritual master. So Prabhupada also mentions when he comments on the verse Tadvidi Pranipatina, he mentions that, yes, we must surrender unto Krishna, but before we even do that, we surrender unto the representative of Krishna. Otherwise, the intelligence will not come to surrender to Krishna. So the representatives of Krishna also give us that intelligence to approach him and understand our very, very minute existence, to understand where we stand, to understand that we are not the supreme, we are not the proprietors, we are not worshipable. Although these days people are being worshipped. In India, the cricket stars are being worshipped. In the West, you know, we have also our cricket team in Australia is worshipped. Or the artists, the musicians, like the Brad Pitts, the Angelina Jolies, the Mariah Careys, they are being worshipped. But we're not worshipable objects. We worship the Supreme Lord. We are part and parcel, and the part is meant to serve the whole. By serving all different parts independently and avoiding the whole, it is not possible to attain happiness. So in that sense, this section teaches us to always remain humble, to understand that we are Anu, and our point in life is that we should learn to understand who is Vibhu, who is the omnipotent Lord, who is the most powerful, the maintainer, the receiver of all yajnas and benedictions. So, when speaking about yajna, in this verse it is mentioned how Krishna is yajnapati, how all the different sacrifices are meant to please him. Less intelligent persons, they approach, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that they approach the demigods to get temporary relief, but the devotee will approach the Supreme Lord by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. And Prabhupada mentions Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sarnam. So we sacrifice our growth and our subtle body in service to Krishna. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam. So we surrender body, mind, words to Krishna. This is how we perform Sankirtan. We do not just perform Sankirtan in our mind by meditating all day, but Srila Prabhupada has given us this ninefold process, all these nine processes of bhakti, and that is what we do in order to try to attain clarity and to try to reach the perfection of this one life that we have. So yes, the living beings, we have a certain amount of intelligence based on our previous activities, but it is by the Lord's mercy that this intelligence can actually work. It is not based on our strength, actually it is the Lord's mercy. So if we try to be the lords of the universe, if we try to enjoy this universe by encroaching upon others' areas or resources, etc., we see that there's great suffering and there's a lot of confusion about who we are, what the goal of life is, etc. One thing to note for all our endeavors, when trying to preach to others, we see that on the streets there are so many people who are doing fundraising, collecting, spreading awareness about pandas and whales and, I don't know, endangered snakes and possums, etc. I was making an observation that it is very amazing that the human species like to put their attention somewhere else instead of dealing with themselves. So they do not want to seek out self-realization, but they want to distract themselves from the reality and go out and search for trees and possums and etc. and put all their energy into reviving the animal kingdom while the human habitat is completely destroyed. So in order to live in this world, of course, a lot of devotees have said that it requires, you know, lots of distraction, because to actually deal with the reality of material existence is a painful thing. That is why there is intoxication. So people take intoxication to forget the painful situation of material existence. Without that intoxication, what will people do? Just think about in one day, if the internet is completely wiped out, there's no more smartphones that speak back to you, there's no more Siri, There's no more galaxies or iTunes touchscreens. There's no more, what's that liquor shop, Dan Murphy's. No liquor shops. No movie theaters. What will people do? That's what they do to keep themselves busy. Whereas we know in the Vedic times, you know, during the day, the householders are at work, the brahmanas are teaching, and in the evening, the families come together, the community comes together, and they hear narrations about Shastra, they hear about Mahabharata, they read Ramayana, they read Bhagavad Gita. They have plays, they have dramas, this is how they kept themselves busy. But in the Kali Yuga scene, if we take out the movie houses, we take out the liquor, and we take out the party scenes, people become so depressed, they won't know how to deal with themselves. They will not know how to deal with the mind. So we are blessed in so many different ways that we hear about Krishna and our mind is captivated by Krishna's activities. Without our mind being captivated by Krishna, it is not possible to remain sane in this world. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that it is out of madness that one actually tries to make their existence in this material world a happy one. It is mad. You cannot be happy in the material world without knowledge of Krishna. Prabhupada says it repeatedly that it is madness only. It is not fit for a gentle man. So, upon Sukadev Goswami's beginning of narrating the creation process, he is glorifying Krishna as a supreme person who will not only give us relief, but who will bring us back to our original constitutional position, being his eternal servant, his loving servant. And getting away from the modes of material nature and getting away from gross and subtle sex life by performing devotional service. This is the only way that the living entity can actually be reinstated in their position. No other sacrifice in this Kali Yuga will be beneficial for the living entity. Prabhupada says that in the purport, in Kali Yuga, performance of other types of sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements. So insufficient arrangement begins with our own body. Our bodies are not strong enough to deal with other processes of self-realization. We cannot sit down properly, our mind is always disturbed, we do not have long lives, we have very, very short lives. The world around us is very disturbing, so to try and be a transcendental yogi, Ashtanga yogi, or to try and perform sacrifices, we don't even have enough ghee. So we do not have the sufficient resources or the arrangements, so it is not feasible. The only feasible yajna, the only feasible way to satisfy Lord Vishnu, to satisfy the Yajna Purush, the Supreme Person, is by performance of the Sankirtan Yajna. That is the only feasible way in Kali Yuga. So we will hear more from Sukadeva Goswami as he narrates the wonderful creation process and how he will put the living entity into perspective so that we understand what our position is and what Krishna's position is for all times and for all places. So I'll stop there. And I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Janeshwar Prabhu. Yes. Lord Krishna delivers? Yes. Yes. Prabhu also explains, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains also that yes, those who are on the battlefield of Kurukshetra also got delivered and got liberation. Now, it is not the same liberation, of course, as attaining Goloka Vrindavan. Some of them, of course, the Yadu dynasty, we understand that they are going from one universe to the other with Krishna performing this pastime. So they're eternally with Krishna, and these are their eternal positions. Others, however, they would have gotten benefit by being in the presence of Krishna, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it is the consciousness also that they were in that will determine what type of liberation they get. So it's not necessarily that they will attain Goloka Vrindavan or they'll go back home, back to Godhead. They might go to another universe where Lord Krishna is performing his pastime and redevelop their natural propensity to serve Krishna. So some cases, of course, like Shishupal, Ravana, these were exceptions within the Srimad Bhagavatam of living entities who either got killed by Krishna or they saw Krishna on the battlefield before they died, then they get a certain type of liberation. But for the masses of people, it would rest so much on their consciousness while they were seeing Krishna. Chaitanya Lila. I don't know about Chaitanya Lila. I think maybe in Chaitanya Bhagavat it is mentioned in one of the Upanishads where it is mentioned how in the Bhagavatam it is not here. The section where the demigods approach Lord Brahma and they ask for the Lord to descend. And then Lord Brahma meditates, and then Lord Brahma is the one who approaches Lord Vishnu. The demigods, they stand on the shore, they can't actually see Lord Vishnu. So Lord Brahma goes and he offers prayers to the Lord, glorifying the Lord, and then the Lord revealed that I will appear in Kali Yuga and I will ask all of you to come. So it is not directly mentioned which demigods or who exactly, but from that pasam, we understand that the Lord had already petitioned who will come and assist them in the pastimes in terms of the devatas, all these different Pandavas. There were sons, you know, of the sun god, sons of Vayu, etc. So all of them descended with the Lord to help him with his pastimes. Yes, brother.
Is this the prakriti, the feminine prakriti, or is this the actual gender?
Gender.
Gender.
Oh, gender. Is it gender, husband of all living entities? Well, if you look at what the word pati means, of course, it means maintainer, it means protector, it means well-wisher. So you could say it refers to both prakriti, little Purushas, because at some point, some of us, we have this Purusha Bhav. So Lord Krishna is the maintainer, protector of all living entities, and in that sense, he is the Prajapati, right? He's the one, he's the seed-given father of all living entities in this womb of material existence. So Mother Nature gives birth to the living entities because of Krishna. So Krishna is a Prajapati, he's the original seed giving father. In that sense, we are all born from Krishna. In terms of being the husband of all living entities, he's our maintainer, and he's our protector, he's our shelter. And this is for all living entities, not necessarily those in male or female bodies. And there's only one Purush, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabhavrita. There's only one Purush and all others are servants. So we're actually all Prakriti. We're all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. That's what Prakriti means. So yes, Krishna is all our husbands. He maintains us and protects us. Because we are our energy, we are Prakriti. We're enjoyed by Krishna. So in that sense, yes, Krishna is the husband of all living entities. Okay. Prasadam is going upstairs. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.